Are we good now? Is that better? All right. Anyways, I was a Marine, so I appreciate the applause. But my wife is concerned about my already inflated ego. So, you know what? I want to start with saying how encouraged I am. I got a front row seat to see the man grandchildren running around up here, and then to hearing little Hayes Dillard share his heart with his prayer. It's a picture of what I'm hoping to talk about today. As Meredith mentioned, we have come to the end of 2023. Some will look back. Yes, some are happy about that. Some are going to look back at this year and say, man, what a year. Some are going to look back and say, man, I'm glad that is over. We get to look forward to 2024 with hope. New adventures to go on, new paths to tread, maybe even some New Year's resolutions. Procrastinators, we'll unite in February. However, sometimes new opportunities lack a clarity of direction that we desire. So we ask ourselves, what are we doing? Where are we going? How are we doing? What legacy are we trying to leave to the next generation? These are the few questions that we'll try and answer as we talk about vision. Last time I was up here, we discussed God's plan for our lives, one revealed through his word and lived out in relationship with him. But how do we articulate God's plan in a way where we live it out and also make it visible to others? In no uncertain terms, we are called to do this several times in Scripture. We've identified the path set before us, but we also want others to learn to identify it for themselves. How do we accomplish this? Through vision. Vision is an articulable description of a plan we want to execute. Businesses and nonprofits alike use vision to let their clientele know what they're about. Our faith, though, dictates that our vision is provided by God through the Holy Spirit. Individuals, families, and even churches need to have vision. It lets people we encounter know where we are going and what we are trying to accomplish. Now, this isn't a sermon about accomplishing tasks, but one where, having recognized the path the Lord has set before us, we write it down in a way that others know where we are going and how we are doing. This is for the benefit of those walking alongside of us, but also for future generations. Turning to the Old Testament, Habakkuk, concerned with the Lord's apparent lack of care for his plight and the state of his nation, cries out to the Lord. He lists the complaints he has and is confused when the Lord responds the first time by informing Habakkuk that he's going to be raising up the Babylonians. Habakkuk cries out again to the Lord and eagerly awaits a response. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 and 3 says, "The Lord answered me, write this down this vision. Clearly inscribe it on tablets so that one may easily read it. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It testifies about the end and will not lie. Though it delays, wait for it, since it will certainly come and not be late." The Lord answers Habakkuk's complaints from chapter 1 about being overrun by the Babylonians and his confusion about why the Lord is allowing this in the first place. He answers him by giving him instructions to write down this vision, not only for himself, but also for others to recognize his movement in this moment. I encourage you to re-listen to Pastor Jim's sermon series from February and March earlier this year for a refresher on Habakkuk's pleas to the Lord. The vision the Lord provided to Habakkuk provided clarity in a seemingly broken world. The remainder of chapter 2 and chapter 3, such a small book in the Bible, are full of warning for those that would stand against God and praise for God and the vision he provides. God provided Habakkuk a vision here, but not only for his benefit. It was for the benefit of others as well. So Habakkuk did as instructed and clearly inscribed it on tablets. We too must receive inspired vision from the Lord. for ourselves, for our families, and even our church. One of the greatest visions received was received by an individual with instructions laid out specifically for him alone. Saul had recently been tossed from his horse and blinded and was holed up in Damascus. But Ananias was the one who received this vision. Acts chapter 9 says, "There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' 'Here I am, Lord,' he replied. 'Get up and go to the street called Straight,' the Lord said to him, 'to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he was praying there.' In a vision, he had seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so that he may regain his sight. 'Lord,' Ananias answered, 'I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has authority here from the chief priests to arrest anyone who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to the Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.' Ananias went and entered the house. He placed his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' At once, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength." The vision provided to Ananias was specific to him, instructions of where he was going and what he was to do. But the benefit was not for him alone. Saul, shortly to become Paul, had his physical sight restored and was filled in an instant with the Holy Spirit. How cool is that? But don't underestimate yourself. You too have been filled with the same Holy Spirit that Paul was filled with and can be provided with similar visions for yourself and for the benefit of others. Ed Cook, a founding member of this church and a good friend of mine, blew me away a year ago. He showed up to our Thursday morning Bible study with a tattered manila folder filled with papers. "Ed," I asked, "what is that?" And he responded, "It's a folder of words that have been spoken over me and my family." Ed, like Habakkuk, was keeping an accounting of the vision he had received and had been given by others. This accounting of vision had been provided by others, empowered through the Holy Spirit. So be forewarned. If you show up to my office with a word for me or my family, I too am keeping an accounting of them, albeit a digital version. The vision we receive and write down for others to witness may be for us in our walk with the Lord, but it too can be for others. Don't underestimate yourself, and in doing so, miss the Lord speaking directly to you about your plight, as he did with Habakkuk. Let's kick our individual capacity for vision into high gear. Your immediate family, your spouse and kids, and for you single ones out there, sometimes your dearest friends, your ride-or-die friends, are the ones who benefit most from hearing and seeing you live out your individual vision. They too have the capacity for vision. And when our powers combine, we summon Earth's greatest champion. No, not Captain Planet from the cheesy 90s TV show. Instead, we summon the power of the Lord that works in us and through us to achieve a combined family legacy. The thing about legacy in relation to our capacity for forward-looking vision is that by its nature is something we leave behind. In Habakkuk's case, it was the vision inscribed on tablets. In our case, it's a familial legacy that outlives us. The faithful of the Bible described in this next passage left legacies that outlived them. Pay careful attention to the power by which these men and women operated, and the timing and method their faithfulness was rewarded. Hebrews 11:4-16 says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through this faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those that seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of a land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. That's powerful. Legacy should outlast us. These biblical men and women were provided with vision, often of circumstances that would outlast their own lives. By faith, they stepped into the unknown to live out the promises given to them. The vision we are given should be visible in us and through us, through our families for the benefit of generations to come. We should not forget to inscribe this vision on the tablet of our lives. I want to encourage you to create a vision for your family. Where are you going? What are you doing? My wife Shanna and I attended a marriage group hosted by the Cooks 2 years ago now. It was focused on creating a vision statement for your marriage. Here's ours. Grow an extended family based on faith in Jesus Christ. Disciple to the same by acting justly, loving mercifully, and walking humbly with God. Placing emphasis on love, togetherness, and healing by focusing on truth, nobility, righteousness, purity, loveliness, and admiration of His excellence and praiseworthiness. It has been something we have lived by since, and I hope that it has been evident to all of you, our closest friends and family. By creating this vision for our family, we've been provided with a litmus test for how we're doing, living out the vision that the Lord has provided to us. We expect you, our friends and family, to hold us accountable to this. We are not perfect, and we will fall short of this sometimes. However, it does provide us an opportunity at every moment to recommit to living out this vision for the benefit of our children and our children's children for generations to come. We are hopeful that our legacy will outlast us. Families are groups of individuals, and churches are groups and groupings of families with a common calling to serve the Lord. Come this Easter, New Life Church will be 25 years old. Yeah, it's exciting. I would love to say that as a 25-year-old, our insurance premiums would finally drop. But alas, that doesn't apply here. Let's have a party instead. Yes, let's do it. 25 years. 25 years is a tremendous milestone for a church, especially given the fractured world we live in. This church was started with a vision that was given to Pastor Jim. A church needing vision is no different. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Without revelation, people run wild, but one who follows divine instruction will be happy." Our church's vision statement sounds a little different than what was originally received. However, the overall focused intent of that vision remains unchanged. Not to be confused with our church's purpose of loving God and loving others, a simple statement of why New Life exists. Our vision statement is the where and what of this equation. Where are we going and what are we doing? It needs to be simple enough to remember, but clear enough to accurately depict the carrying out of our purpose. We say it simply as grow, go, together. Verbs, when strung together, articulate the what we are doing here at New Life. Our vision statement in its entirety is grow relationships rooted in Christ. Go share the love of Christ in our community, together as the church. Grow relationships rooted in Christ. What does that mean? We seek to develop disciples that not only share our relationship with one another, but share a relationship with Jesus that is so central to our collective identity that we become indistinguishable from one another when in His presence. This is the first part of where we are going and what we are doing. Go and together cannot proceed without getting this one in place first, lest we try and force it under our own strength that never seems to work out as planned. Jesus must guide everything we do or say in His name. Disciple building is the Great Commission. We must start here. Acts 6, verse 7 says, "So the word of God spread. The disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly in number, and a large group of priests became obedient to the faith." I want to encourage you to lead, host, or simply get involved in a small group or study. We have LifeLinks groups. We need more. Come see me about them. Small group relationships in this church are some of the strongest support we have. We have a prayer group that meets on Wednesday evenings at 7. If you need prayer, come. I know for a fact that they would be happy to pray for you and alongside of you. We have ongoing Bible studies that meet throughout the week here at the church. A women's study on Wednesday evenings at 6:30, men's studies on Wednesday evening at 6:30 and Thursday morning at 6. Differing slightly from our LifeLinks groups, these studies serve as an important conduit to hear about the love of Jesus on days not named Sunday. Though that does remind, we do have a few that also meet on Sunday, including the new co-ed study beginning next week, 8:30 to 9:30 upstairs, and another women's study on Sunday mornings at 8:30. At 8:30. These all serve to build upon our vision to grow relationships rooted in Christ. So let's build upon our commission to grow disciples and turn and go share the love of Christ in our community. Having been empowered by the Holy Spirit, this is the next step: to witness to the community we have influence in. Acts 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus, speaking to his disciples, was giving them clear instruction about the vision of his coming kingdom and where they were going and what they would be doing. Having been equipped for his purposes, we are called into the community to share the gospel with others. Our community begins within these walls. Every Wednesday evening, youth from the surrounding community are invited in to share a meal, to worship, and to hear a word from the Lord spoken over them. Join them on a Wednesday evening. I'm sure the youth leadership team would welcome the outpouring of support from this body. Children right now are in classrooms hearing the word of God spoken over them. The kids ministry needs the support of this body to carry out the vision of this church. VBS is an opportunity to go out into the community by staying put and providing a venue for Jesus' light to be shown on families that may experience a move of God in their lives for the first time. A few verses before this one in Acts 1, the disciples were concerned most about his restoration of the kingdom of Israel. Jesus tells them not to be concerned with timing, instead to focus on the instructions he has laid out before them in the here and now. Vision provides clarity of direction and purpose. We as members of this church must have a vision that joins us to a common purpose. That brings us to the last part of our vision statement. Vision is unifying. It gives us a common goal. We are all called as members of New Life Church to grow, go, and last but certainly not least, to do so together as the church. Ephesians chapter 3, 8 through 12 says, "This grace was given to me, the least of all the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable riches of Christ, and to shed light for all the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. This is so that God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. This is according to his eternal purpose accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him we have boldness and confident access through faith in him." In verse 10 here, God's multifaceted wisdom is to be made known through the church. This implies and requires unity within the church to achieve this goal. Individual effort need not apply. Our pastors cannot carry this burden alone. Our church's vision requires unity to carry out this commission to make disciples. As a reminder, though, we are not doing this under our own strength and effort. Having been grown, equipped by the Holy Spirit, we have the power of Jesus within us to accomplish this. Verse 11 states this clearly. "And when we are unsure in ourselves, we are reassured that we have boldness and confident access through our faith in him." You've heard the saying that there is nothing new under the sun. It's actually from Ecclesiastes 1:9. The writer is lamenting the monotony and the futility of life and searching for meaning in one's purpose. Ultimately, his point is to be made through the 12 chapters in Ecclesiastes that in this life, in the absence of God, is futile. Relationship with God and hope in an eternity with God is of most importance. Our individual family and church vision must be cast against God's prism of truth. That accounting of visions and words spoken over Ed Cook and his family, gathered in a tattered manila envelope, has been cast against and confirmed through God's word. Our vision, inspired by God, must pass through this prison and have its parts examined. We must do this to cast aside anything of selfless promotion that runs counter to God's eternal purpose for our lives and for New Life Church. Moreover, our vision provides a litmus test against the things that we do, the ministries we start and support, and the events we hold. If it doesn't align with the vision that the church has been provided by the Lord, then it needs to be evaluated, and if needed, worst case, scrapped altogether. 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 16 through 21 says, "For we did not follow cleverly contrived myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice when it came from the heavens, while we were with him on the holy mountain. We also have the prophetic word strongly confirmed, and you would do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you know this, no prophecy of scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Those last couple of verses, beginning in 20, highlight the root of the vision that we have been given. It's not from Pastor Jim. It is not from the other pastors or elders. It has been given by God and will be glorified through our relationship with and devotion to Jesus. Vision is important. It provides us with clear direction and purpose. But most importantly, it provides people walking through those doors, some here today for the first time, with a clear understanding of who we are and what we're about. New Life here is to love God and love others. Not merely a motto, our inscribed vision is a rallying cry to believers and non-believers alike. So let us not sit back on our heels. With God's leading, let us grow, go together. Let us pray. Lord, empower us with your strength that only can come from you. Provide us with a renewed vision for ourselves, for our families, and for this church. Let us walk out our stated vision. Equip us to grow disciples, to go into our community, together as one church. I ask that you meet the needs of the people in this room and those watching online. Hear our pleading, Lord. Our nation needs a revival of your Holy Spirit. I pray that marriages in this room begin to live out a divine purpose. Let our marriages be a testament of your love for us. Lord, use our church for your kingdom in new ways. May we demonstrate your love, grace, and mercy to the afflicted and lost. I pray that this new year be a year of building upon your foundation. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to wish you all a happy new year. We'll see you in 2024. Thank you.